This is NBC News Radio.
Diversified radio station on the dial, AM 1050, KCAA.
Welcome to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome, everyone, to Smart Health Talk. And we're doing our kickoff to the Olympics show today, and I am thrilled because I have Sue Nesmith here with us in the studio. And for our kickoff show, I couldn't have asked for a better guest. Sue is actually been out there creating Olympians for the U.S. Besides as a competitor out there at world level. And she's actually a local girl right here from Riverside, California, and went to, it's called Riverside Poly High School. And she was on the swim team there and then went over to the, and how do you say that, Sue?
Riverside Aquettes.
Aquettes, thank you. And that was a synchronized swimming team. And from there, she was like traveling the world and coaching teams over in Canada and Australia and with going with those teams to the Olympics. So, you know, what a wealth of knowledge we have having Sue here. And one of the things that really impressed me the most about her is her dedication as a coach to the young people that have been coming over to the Riverside Aquatic Center. For years, she's dedicated her life to, you know, taking these young people and coaching them, not only as swimmers, but as people that can grow up and be successful people and contribute wonderful things to society and believe in themselves. And that work, I'm anxious to ask her about on how rewarding that is. But, you know, she's not only going to be sharing her experience and how she got into swimming, but also be giving us some tips on how to, you know, maybe interact with our own children, family, ourselves on... I'm gone. You didn't think we were gone forever, but we're back now. And anyway, so we were just talking about Sue and all the things that we're going to be talking about. But I mean, if you can just imagine that we have an Olympic coach right here with us that has years of experience coaching, and so she's going to be giving us some insight on just what it means to be a coach. How does she motivate these young people? And I mean, this is like teenagers, you know, that we're talking about here. This isn't exactly the easiest group to be working with. So I really, my hat's off to her. And then we also have Lee Egan with us here. And did I say that right, Lee?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes, and she's from Clark's Nutrition. And for those of you out there that are, you know, maybe, you know, you're not training for the Olympics, but that's okay. We're all kind of training for the Olympics in our own mind, in that we're trying to improve our health and get stronger and be able to fit in our clothes kind of thing. And so Lee is going to have some really great advice for us on how to be successful at our workouts and really kind of fast-track things, some different products that we might use, and just some great overall tips on how to get our program going. So let's get started, and we're gonna start with Sue. She is going to be you know, giving us maybe just a little bit of a background, Sue, on, like, how did you even get involved in swimming when you were in high school? What inspired you to do all that work? Because to me, it's like, you know, you're a high school student and the coach is saying, hey, I want you to come and swim. Like, how many laps would they have you do? And, you know, like, what motivated you even at that point to become an athlete?
I actually, thank you for the question. It's my honor to be here, and I hope you ask me interesting questions because I can talk forever.
Okay.
So let's not make me talk too long. I actually started competitive swimming when I was 5. So I started very, very early with the youngest of 4 children, and I think it was my mother's idea to keep us busy. That was her mission in life, and that would keep us out.
That's a good idea, really.
It kept us out of trouble. So we were always clean, and we were always tired. So actually, I started competitive swimming so at 5, and I started synchronized swimming at about 10. So then I did swim in high school, but definitely I made my mark on synchronized swimming before then.
Oh, really? So how did that feel, even at that young age, to be competing? And how did your team do when you guys competed?
We were good. We were nationally ranked. We were always in the top 10, the Riverside Aquettes, as I was growing up. But for some reason, there was something inside me that I was driven.
Very competitive.
Very, very competitive. Not in education, although I had good grades, but it was something about excelling in athletics, having my body do things that normal people couldn't do, and really working over and over the repetition, and I definitely liked the practice.
Oh, so you did like the practice.
I did like the practice. Yeah, competitions used to make me very nervous, and of course you go to competitions as the end result of all the practice, but definitely, I like the practice.
Well, so from there, you transferred to San Jose, is that correct?
Yes. Santa Clara Aquamaids was the best team in the country.
Santa Clara.
And Riverside had a good program, but we didn't have a coach that would take me to the level where I wanted to be, which I didn't even know what it was. I just wanted to be the best. And I was lucky enough to be placed on our first national team that went to the very first World Aquatic Games. So in my first year with Santa Clara, right out of high school, I became a world champion. And that was amazing.
And what about the coach there? Because I remember seeing that Santa Clara was, like, winning for Coach of the Year, like, year after year. Was that the same time you were there?
Yes, it was. George Haynes developed many competitive swimmers at that time, speed swimmers. And at the same time, in the pool right next door, was Kay Valine, who was my coach. So, yes, it was wonderful to be coached by a wonderful woman.
Okay, so that, you know, that probably really set the stage for maybe some of your future coaching skills as well, do you think?
I think so.
And what were some of the things that you really think that you took from that coach that seemed to mean the most to you, that you copied maybe later on as a coach yourself?
She was really good at reading an athlete, and so that each athlete was treated differently. Each of us needs something different to motivate us, and she was good at the psychology aspect.
And, you know, I just think that that's so interesting, you know, that you said the psychology aspect of it, because I'm wondering, like, was psychology a big part of coaching? Just being able to, like, psych these girls out to get past their own inhibitions and lack of confidence in themselves, maybe a little bit of anger and rebellion, not even knowing, ever having maybe learned to follow directions and be responsible and dependable and all that. I mean, you know, so with psychology, do you think like a big part of that with you as a coach as well?
Yes. The mental aspect of sport is huge. And there's a quote somewhere that I can't remember right now, especially going into the Olympics. The Olympics for most athletes is the revered thing to do, even though in some sports it's not the highest level of competition, mm-hmm. because all countries can't compete in every sport. But it's so mentally challenging to be at the top of your game, because it's once every 4 years, whereas the world championships in most sports are every other year or every year. So the mental aspect from the athlete coming in, yes, we learn the basic paying attention and learning how to set goals and rewarding the goals. And the rewards are not with ice cream, which I know we're going to get into nutrition, but it's the feeling good. that you accomplished something, and so you feel good within. It's not a medal, and it's not anything. It's an intrinsic goal as opposed to an extrinsic goal.
And I was really interested, too, in just the whole team aspect of it, and how you bring everyone together as a team when you have maybe such individualistic type people.
Synchronized swimming has teams of eight, and that's what I think I liked so much about it, because we had to work on our individual skills, but it was, well, you have to do it together. If somebody's a little bit out of pattern, you have to adjust to them if they can't see the pattern, and that's what I like, working together.
So, well, we're going to have to break here in about 30 seconds, but I'm wondering, like, would maybe when we come back, you could tell us kind of what would be the normal routine when you guys, you know, everyone gets there, like, what, how do you lay down the law, kind of, like, if someone was late, you know, how would you guys go about your routine to practice, and how do you control the group from that point, and how maybe like a couple of things on how you mentally, some things that you might say to them to mentally prepare for, like you said, the stress of, you know, a competition that, you know, every 4 years, that may be your last chance. And I can imagine the stress that some of these Olympic athletes are feeling right now, you know, that the weight on their shoulders and being able to get past that and just perform at their peak. So I'm really anxious to hear that. So please stay tuned, everyone, because we're going to continue with Sue, and we're going to be getting some great tips from Lee here on the show as well on how to get the most out of your workout and get results as fast as you can, because you know that's what we all want. So please stay tuned.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
A precious deposit that came from the mightiest of mountains, created from the strongest forces of nature, and lie hidden for 15 million years beneath the surface of a remote desert, has now been found. A mineral deposit like no other, nature in its most perfect form. Minerals are one of the key foundations of life and may not always be complete in food, but you can now have all that nature has to offer in one pure source. Ion Charge Minerals bring you 57 ionic minerals to nourish your body with the raw materials it needs to rebuild, revitalize, and help generate energy within every cell. Experience mineral power and the new energy and endurance that is yours when you give your body what it needs to build a stronger you. Visit ionchargeminerals.com or go to Smart Health Talk website and find out how you can benefit from the power of minerals today.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
That's right. We're doing our kickoff to the Olympics right here on Smart Health Talk. And to help us kick off the Olympics, we have an actual Olympic coach here with us, Sue Nesmith, who's also a local, born and raised right here in Riverside, California, and grew up competing even at the youngest age of 5 years old, if you can believe it. This girl was like driven from the very beginning and went on to become a coach for teams in Canada, Australia, the U.S., and so she's back here in Riverside, and even though she did retire from coaching full-time, she's still maintained her position to oversee the Aquettes.
Aquettes.
I got to remember the QU. I want to make up my own name here. Aquettes. I got it right that time, didn't
yes.
I? Yes. Okay. Right. Aquettes. The Aquettes from Riverside. Which? How long have they been competing?
Over 50 years.
That's amazing.
Yep.
The team has like lasted that long, and for you to take on that leadership role, and they're today over at the Riverside Aquatic Center, we're going to be talking about like some of the strategies that Sue uses in teaching, and then we're going to also be getting to Lee, and Lee, is it Egar, did I say
Egan.
It right? Egan. Mm-hmm. Egan. She is going to be giving us a bunch of tips on how to get the most out of your workout and some different things that you may want to focus on and eat to get results quicker. So please stay tuned for that. I did want to talk to Sue a little bit about some exciting things that are happening here in Riverside that we've never had before, because this is actually over at the Riverside Aquatic Center, which I don't know if everyone out that's listening out here is aware of it. The Riverside Aquatic Center is actually, it was a huge project that it was like $11 million went into it, renovating it, making a like a world-class facility. And Sue actually had a big role in that and the whole planning committee and making sure that, things were done the very best that they could, the latest and the greatest, so that we could attract world-class athletes here to Riverside. And I think that's so awesome, Sue. I mean, what you guys have been able to accomplish over there with the Aquatic Center.
Thank you. My part was very small.
Okay.
But it was the City College, mm-hmm. along with the City of Riverside and the county. All the resources were pulled together so that we would have a state-of-the-art facility for water polo, synchronized swimming, competitive swimming, and, of course, diving. We have a 10-meter tower, which is the tower that you'll see at the Olympics, and there's not very many around. And I'm so proud that divers in the area will not have to leave Riverside now to train, and people will be coming in here so that they can use the facilities. It's wonderful.
Well, it's great for us, too, because, like, this week you're actually having Junior Olympic competition over there at this brand new, fantastic facility right here in Riverside. I mean, we can get in our car and drive and see this caliber of a competition. And these kids that are competing this week could actually be going to the Olympics someday as well, right, Sue?
That's right. It's a stepping stone, Junior Olympics. And the exciting thing for the City of Riverside and the people who built the facility is the economic impact to the city is wonderful. We have 800 people that will be here, 800 athletes, and then that's not even counting the coaches and the managers and the parents that are coming to see. And they all drive their cars and they eat and they stay in our hotels. So economically, it was a very good move for Riverside to put this facility in.
Yeah, from some of the numbers that I was reviewing, it's like it's already brought in like over $1 million. So the facility cost 11. So I'm thinking at the rate that they're going with all these people calling in from all different places around the world, now that they've heard about this world-class facility and booking their competitions to be held here in Riverside, that should pay off pretty quickly at that rate. And not only that, but to have these type of athletes come here. This is something that, you know, we've never been able to participate in as, like, people that live in the Inland Empire, that level of athletic, you know, let's face it, we live in the Inland Empire. There's only a limited amount of athletic type of events that we have to go to. We do have the race car over in Fontana. We have the big race car track over there. But other than that, this is, like, to me, really big news. And it's a family event that they're having this week. And any of you out there that are looking for something to do, there's no cost to come. You can bring your whole family. You can check out this incredible center. You can maybe inspire your own children to take up swimming, and maybe they want to join some of the lessons that they're offering. Because don't they have lessons?
Yes, definitely.
As well, there's different programs that they have, and they even have programs where, you know, there's a special program if you qualify where you can get lessons, and they give you, like, flippers and your mask and all that kind of stuff, too. So there's all kinds of great things there. This is a wonderful resource, so please tap into that. Now, Sue, the Junior Olympics go all the way through Sunday, and they're having the events during the day, and then you actually get to watch the awards ceremony for those events that very same day at 5 o'clock. And so it's like $5 for the parking. That's all it's going to cost you to go to this. So what a great event right here in Riverside at RCC campus.
So in the morning are the preliminaries.
Okay.
And then they take a little break, and then in the afternoon they have the finals,
mm-hmm.
and then the awards.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Sue. Okay, so that's the way it goes, everyone. So just, you could bring along a picnic lunch, and or they probably have a really nice food facility there as well. Okay, so well, at least we got some time to get in about the different event. And well, we're going to have Lee's going to be doing most of the last segment and really giving us some good advice then. Sue, so what are some of the things that, like, when you guys come in that you think are the most motivating when you're trying to work with the students that are in your swimming program?
That is an impossible question. When you, depending on the level and the age, it's very different. And I've been coaching actively for 30 years, and things have changed. Athletes are different, and everything has changed. So you just need to be aware of what motivates the athlete. Right now, I think peer pressure is the key. So you need to make sure you know who the leader of the group is, get in with that group leader. But it's a hard sell. And if I knew the answer to that question, I know what I try to do, but it's different on every single level.
So what has been some of the most rewarding things, like some of your students that maybe, you know, that you coached when they were very young? Do you run into them later on in life and they share with you on, like, what that meant to them?
Yes. We had 5 girls that trained in Riverside on our Olympic hopeful team go to the Olympic qualifying event in London this year, and I was able to be the assistant coach there. And it was really nice to see them through their younger developmental years, and then they went on to college, either Ohio State or Stanford University, and then to see them swim at the very highest level in the biggest meet of their careers. They did not qualify, which was very sad, but I knew they were well prepared and they did the best they could. So it was nice to see that.
Well, and congratulations on your daughter, Stephanie.
Yes.
She actually competed in the Olympics in Athens.
Yes, and she won the bronze medal in team.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, everyone. Well, we're going to be cutting to break here. We're going to come back, and we're going to start talking a little bit about some of the nutrition and some of the other tips that that Sue uses with her students, and we're also going to hear from Lee on some of the things maybe that Sue does that she also recommends, and some of the things she hears from some of the different people that come into Clark's Nutrition with questions for her. So please stay tuned.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
Hey everybody, it's Deuce from Clark's Nutrition and Natural Foods Market. Have you ever noticed that the word change is found in the word challenge? We have, and that's why we have the highest trained and most understanding staff around. They will assist you in picking out the freshest produce, finding the perfect supplement, or figuring out which cereal has the most fiber. Whatever you need to turn your challenges into change. Clark's, changing the way you shop for health day by day.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome back, everyone. We're doing our Olympic kickoff here on Smart Health Talk. And today we have Sue Nesmith, who is an Olympic coach who has helped train. You said there's actually 5 girls that are in London right now. Was it 5?
Yes, we had 5 girls that were trying out for the synchronized swimming Olympic team. They did not qualify, so they're not there. But
at least they were even good enough to compete in the trials.
Right, exactly.
And that right there is something they'll obviously never forget. So, Lee, we have Lee here and Lee Egan from Clark's Nutrition. Thanks for coming today, Lee. And we're... All 3 of us here are going to kind of just have a little discussion now on some of the trials and tribulations all of us going through on, like, what should we be eating, you know, how do we maintain a workout and still be able to, you know, lose weight, all these different things. So, Lee, what are some of the things that you hear the most in Clark's Nutrition when people come in and ask you questions on what they should be doing?
Like what you said earlier, I want to lose weight very quickly.
Right.
20 pounds in 20 days. Actually, that's not obviously healthy. you were just speaking about with the Sue, how important it is really even having good habit here, exercising regularly. Now, one of the interesting, the recent studies just released, by the way, especially women, whether it's young age, middle age, older age, we need to have about 4 hours a week exercise, meaning some sort of high endurance activity, meaning swimming, jogging, running, riding bicycle, resistance working out, weightlifting. It is absolutely vital.
It could be yard work even, couldn't it?
Absolutely.
Gardening?
Hour. Yes, 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 because you are using that actually muscle tissue here, pulling and the bending, and those actually very much so benefit.
Well, Sue can speak for that because mm-hmm. she said she grows most of her own food. Do you get a lot of workout
Definitely.
In your gardening?
And one particular time, my daughters were both competitive athletes, and they went to the gym, and I was working in the yard. And they came back from the gym, and I was still working in the yard. And I would like to say that I expended more energy than they did.
Mm-hmm. I know. Digging in the dirt with a shovel is a definite good workout. So, and there was, and plus Sue was also saying that she, you know, kind of sums it up when she talks to the students that she works with in her program, in her swimming, synchronized swimming program, as far as her advice on what kind of eating program they should be on. So what was that simple advice that you gave them?
It's not from me. It's from somebody else, and I don't remember his name. But it says, eat, not a lot, mostly plants. And what I say to my athletes is food is not to be mixed up with emotion or celebratory events, that food is fuel, and if you want to do well, you need to fuel your body. And if you fuel it with a cupcake versus something that would be a little bit healthier, your body will respond better. And once they understand that principle, it's a little bit easier to get them on a good nutrition plan.
Were you able to stick with that when you guys were on the road, to stick with those kind of goals?
Yes, and when you can make it all the way up to the Olympics, definitely, I remember in 1984 at the Olympic Village, the French team definitely wanted to eat a certain way, and they provided a certain area, and all of their cooks came in. And for the U.S. athletes in Athens, they had their all their own cooks where they could go and eat the way they need to eat, because each sport eats very differently.
Oh, really? That's interesting, too. So what are some of the main advice that you find yourself giving, Lee?
Here's some interesting note. The North American diet, meaning the Canadians as Americans, prefers that those athletes, very elite athletes, they prefer being 70% protein. Now, here's some non-North American diet. They prefer plant source protein, meaning I did some extensive little research on the both side of the areas here. They actually prefer their proteins coming from the plant, meaning soy, the white beans, mung beans, lentils, kidney beans, chickpeas, cowpeas, lima beans, pigeon peas, lupinis, wing beans, almonds, Brazil nuts, cashews, pecans, walnuts, cotton seeds, that I did not know about, pumpkin seeds, sesame seeds, sunflower seeds. So there is a broad spectrum different, the methodology that we believe in as North American diets to non, you know, obviously North American diet. Those are the worldwide diet I just mentioned in those legumes.
And those are all things that I would be at the top of my list.
Yes.
To now, recommend.
One other thing I do think, being an elite athlete, you do need to have an adequate amount of protein, because they are actually essentially important nutrient for the human body, absolutely vital, as known as the building blocks of our tissue, and also serves as a fuel source, by the way. So, as a protein contains 4 calories, opposed to standard other carbohydrates, lipids, calories are 9 calories for the. So we do need that both the plants and then perhaps getting some source of a protein from, you know, dairy, small amount of dairy, yogurt.
And healthy fat.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And what I like about when you choose plant proteins, and because when you eat animal protein, you're getting a lot of fat with it in the form of saturated fat.
Mm-hmm.
But when you eat plant proteins and you add the fat to your diet, you can really pick and choose, if you're wise, the good fats.
Absolutely.
Instead of eating the bad
Absolutely.
Fats. So what, Sue, how do you feel about that as far as the protein sources? What have been some of your preferred protein sources?
I definitely like plant proteins or lean meat.
Mm-hmm.
fish or chicken. Mm-hmm. Are definitely the ones that we kind of stick with.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think.
And so, when you say plant proteins, are you talking about like the, you know, like the beans and legumes, like lentils, things like that? Are those actually
Yes.
things that you do eat a lot?
Yes, definitely.
And even on the road that you find, so you would like choose like a burrito over a hamburger?
Definitely.
And you're finding that that seems to give more endurance, actually, for as an athlete, even getting the plant proteins versus the animal proteins.
Yeah, bean and cheese burrito will be more satisfying to your body than the hamburger and french fries. It won't be as satisfying to your brain. And so you just need to train your brain that you realize that the bean and cheese burrito is going to take you farther.
Okay, and just to clarify what you were saying, Lee, so what you were saying is that actually most of the world prefers the plant-based protein diets versus the meat protein diets.
Except
for the
North
U.S.
American, the Canadians. I do think, though, there is a very important facts here that you are the large individual burning heavy amount of calories, weightlifting, bodybuilding, power lifters, and also someone who's been long-term, you know, illness, overcoming surgery,
mm-hmm.
Stress dealing matters. You do need a specific type of a protein. It is crucial and important to overcome those situations, meaning that Sue just mentioned chicken, fish, even turkey. I mean, I do think it's important now. There's many people prefer not to eat red meat, but if you do, I encourage you to eat small amount, 3 to 4 ounces grass-fed, which we do have those. Because there's a simply fact that there's essential amino acid, non-essential amino acid. Essential meaning absolutely vital, important, essential. Body does not produce it. There's 9 those essential amino acids, which crucial. You can only get that from certain protein.
Well, and actually, Lee is right. And that's like one of the things that you do get when you eat meat protein is you're getting all of the essential
yes.
amino acids in one food, but you can still get them from eating plant proteins, but you have to combine different
correctly.
Foods.
Correctly. Absolutely.
And that would be like beans and rice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really simple way
mm-hmm.
that you can do that. So we're gonna talk some more about like some of the best foods that you can be eating to get the maximum amount of muscle and results from your workouts. So please stay tuned.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
Hey everybody, it's Deuce from Clark's Nutrition and Natural Foods Market. Have you ever noticed that the word change is found in the word challenge? We have, and that's why we have the highest trained and most understanding staff around. They will assist you in picking out the freshest produce, finding the perfect supplement, or figuring out which cereal has the most fiber. Whatever you need to turn your challenges into change. Clark's, changing the way you shop for health day by day.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
We're doing our kickoff to the Olympics show today. We're hoping that all of you out there are watching these incredible athletes on television and getting inspired, that maybe you're actually thinking about improving your own diet and exercising yourself and getting out there and really enjoying life. And that's one of the things, the messages that's going to be woven throughout all of our Olympic theme shows from now until the end of the Olympics. And that is just to get out there and start moving, not just sitting there in front of the TV. Just move and reach out and grab life, you know, start living life, not just sitting there. And we have, like, someone here today with us, Sue Nesmith, who's been out there, you know, working in synchronized swimming for years and years and training Olympic athletes. And so she's been sharing with us her experience with that. And we have Lee Egan here, who has been helping us and understand more about some good food choices to lose weight and be healthy. And I wish you could have been here during the break listening to Lee give us this great speech on why you would want to choose organic meat over other meats. And just how they raise, being grass-fed. And there's actually something called conjugated linoleic acids in there that you get a much higher concentration of when the meat is organically grown and grass-fed versus being fed GMOs and GMO corn and GMO soy. And they're just not getting those omega-3s in the meat anymore. And so we're not getting them in our diet either, are we, Lee?
Mm-hmm. We're not. Now, here's another the facts, though. It's according to U.S. and Canadian dietary reference intake guidelines, we think we need a lot more if we are just non-athletic, sedentary individual. The woman in age between 19 to 70, somewhere we need 46 grams of a protein per day, while a man aged between 19 to 70 need only 56 grams of a protein. Now, if we're active individual, meaning like Sue, what she does, besides exercising, doing the yard work, gardening, you're going to have to increase at least another about 10 to 15 grams intake of a protein, whether it is a plant source, combination of a fish and chicken, grass-fed beef. You need to incorporate those.
To build muscle.
Yes. And then also that in and itself speeds up your metabolism. Our human body metabolic goes up when you're eating the foods are naturally occurring protein source rather than simple starch, simple carbohydrate, excessive sugar. You see, we start cutting off some of those good fat, good protein. Now what we are doing is we're eating too much sweets. That really helped to satisfy in some ways some of those, you know, specifically menopausal women.
Well, I like what you said, Lee, also about concentrated nutrition and choosing concentrated sources like, you know, seeds and nuts. Those can offer the extra calories that you need, but they're like a perfect food source. It's like they have everything there together in a perfect little package.
Absolutely.
Was that something that you guys would eat a lot on the road, Sue, is like nuts and seeds and things like that?
Yes, they're so easy to pack, and they last forever. So if you have your Ziploc bag of raw almonds, you can eat them at any time. You feel a little hunger coming on, and you can just pop a few almonds in your mouth, and then you're good to go.
Yeah, and actually what Sue just mentioned, almonds, we did have a wonderful guest on that from the Almond Board as well a few weeks ago. Almonds are just, they're packed full of calcium as well, and so they help to build your bones, and it's a good alternative source to dairy. Is that one of the things that you recommend, Lee?
Yes, I do. I don't generally recommend the large amounts of almonds, but, you know, raw almonds, not only great source of protein, it is known to use treating some of those, and I cannot say this, down in a Mexico cancer clinic, they use this one as some sort of a cancer treatment, enhancement, because almond does contain a somewhat trace amount of arsenic. You remember, you know, if you look at it in terms of treatment of all the various different types of cancers, when there's a chemotherapy, radiation treatment, what's in those? It's source of a kind of arsenic.
So you're saying that's a natural occurring, and even though we couldn't recommend almonds as a cure to cancer,
absolutely,
but we can.
Not.
What we're all about here too is prevention of these chronic diseases.
Absolutely.
That's what we talk about nutrition here all the time, and that's one of the, you know, the great habits like Sue has gotten into, where she's like growing her own food. She has made the base of her protein source an animal source, and if you look at what your plate is supposed to look like. It should be half the plate should be vegetables, mm-hmm. and you mm-hmm. want like a quarter of a good quality protein,
right. Right.
And then of course you want to add your grains, and you want those to be whole grains. But we
right.
can get protein from grains as well, right?
Absolutely, the legumes and the grains.
What are some of those that you recommend?
One of those grains, spelt, wheat. Even though there's a large number of people right now having an issue with those gluten intolerance. But when wheat is the berry in and itself, it has not gone through processing, that flour processing, that which releases also gluten substance. But if you use those brown rice, spelt, barley, which is a great source of protein, quinoa, amaranth, millet. Now, this is all of them are known as ancient grain, and it actually is in the Old Testament Bible. Clearly speak about and write about using
and
it.
Chia is also
yes.
another, the salva chia,
yeah.
we recommend that a lot as well. Are those like some other things that you would eat too, and do you recommend those for some of your Olympic athletes? What do you see like as far as grains go when you see other athletes? I know they eat a lot of oatmeal, don't they?
It's getting better now. And yes, steel-cut oatmeal is definitely mm-hmm. on our mm-hmm. training table. But the other grains that you talked about, they're not as readily available.
Yeah.
So unless
yeah.
you bring them with you or have your cooks cook them. But definitely, they're great.
Well, is any other last-minute, we're down to 30 seconds here, any other last-minute recommendations that you guys would like to give us? Go ahead, Lee.
Have inspired by whatever you decide to do. It actually, most of us are thinking in terms, you know, I'm 50, 55, 60, I'm too old for this. It actually never too late. Today is the day that you begin. There's a gentleman who I just read, inspire me. He's a 61 years old, retired medical doctor, missionary medical doctor. He started actually running when he was about 60 or 61 years old, when he found out that he had a prostate cancer. And he's over 80 years old, I think 80, 86, 88.
See that? You're never too old. So
do something. Every day, make worthy of your life. And, you know, go out there. There's so much to do.
Sue?
Wise words.
Thank you, Sue.
Wise words.
So any last thoughts that you would say? What gets you going every single day, even at this time in your life?
Oh, I don't know. I'm redoing my house right now, and whether it's gardening or stripping paint, it's all active.
That's right, wonderful. Moving. And that's going to be our mantra here. And actually, there's a really great website with the USDA. They have a Move It. .gov that you can go and find all kinds of great information, and a lot of the things that we were actually talking about today is on that website. And we're going to be adding more and more things to our website at smarthealthtalk.com, and also on our Facebook and Twitter page. We're always posting new things because we want you to be informed. We want you to know the latest that's happening with food, the safest way to eat, the best way to eat. We want you to be healthy and strong and looking good and feeling good. That is our goal here. So please join us every week and tell your friends about Smart Health Talk. This is the place to come where we give you the information that you probably are not getting on television. So please tune in every week, everyone. And thanks for tuning in this week. And thank you, Sue. And thank you so much, Lee, for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Hi, my name is Don Sazi. If you enjoy the Smart Health Talk theme music, visit my website, www.donsazi.com, to hear the complete song as well as other great music.
Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive? Right before me, my newfound hippie side. Once ignored these conspiracies online. Out the window, visions of the earth. Side
me up now. Make sure you use your smart. Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive? Would your children lie? To see Mother Nature
This is NBC News Radio.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com.
Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive? Right before me, my newfound hippie side. Once ignored these conspiracies online. Out the window, visions of the earth. Sign me up now, make sure you use your smart. Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive?